Hello, everybody, and welcome back to an episode of That Animated Podcast.
Oh my god, no way!
So, have you guys ever done something that was like, you felt like you didn't really know what you're doing at first, and then when you tried it, you realized, hey, I'm actually a lot better at this than I thought I was? Well, with code recently, I kind of had that realization that maybe I actually do know how to code, because I did not give myself any credit ever explaining it to people, because I always operate under the assumption that I know nothing about code.
You always operate under the assumption that you don't know how to do anything, ever. You genuinely never give yourself credit for anything you do.
I mean, it's not like I don't give myself credit for anything. It's just...
Okay, sometimes you do, but I feel like you're way too hard on yourself and you don't... You see, this is why you need someone like me, so I can, like, gush over the cool things that you do and tell you that you're cool.
Yeah, but... I don't know. Sometimes when I don't see these like results that I'm looking for, I feel like there's actually no way I'm ever going to do the things that I am like imagining I want to do with code and stuff. So whenever I go to try it, I'm so overwhelmed because I don't know the name of any of the functions. And I'm realizing that just because I don't know the functions doesn't mean I don't know how to figure it out. And I think that's something I don't have a lot of patience for.
You don't have patience for yourself in general.
I feel like I'm just doomed to fail if I don't know all this stuff already. And I'm realizing that there's a lot of things that you can get away with that you don't know as long as you're just trying to figure it out. Because a lot of the principles with code that I'm learning is that everything that I've learned applies to everything that I haven't learned, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's filling in the blanks. It's like puzzle pieces of knowledge. That's what knowledge is supposed to do. It's clicking for you. You were struggling a while before. Yeah. Like, you felt like the tutorials you were watching weren't helping, or you were running into roadblocks.
Yeah,
you didn't feel like you were learning anything.
There's always, like, these two things that I do whenever I'm doing tutorials.
Which you have a lot more patience for.
I do, but both of them are equally like a roadblock because I have a lot of struggle with copying versus absorbing. And a lot of times in the past when I was doing coding tutorials, I was just copying and I wasn't learning a whole lot. But I must have done one somewhat recently that it really clicked for me how code worked. Or I just was practicing it a lot for a while because...
Yeah, it has to become muscle memory.
Yeah, when I had my surgery, I had a lot of downtime, so I started coding around that time.
That's right.
And I practiced it a lot, and I'm guessing I learned it more than I thought I did. I was just using a programming language that was very simple, and it wasn't very complicated, and it was actually very forgiving, like...
What language were you
learning? GML. I mean, I didn't want to say it because that kind of gives away what I was doing, but...
Does it? Because I don't know what that means.
It does, but...
Okay, to the basic person, I don't know what that means.
Even if you Google it. Well, okay. So, essentially, that programming language is... it's really forgiving. There's not a lot of things it punishes you for. So, if you want to, like, compare code versus set a value, it doesn't punish you for that, but it does in other programming languages like C++. You have to like distinguish if something is being set to equal something or if you're comparing two things.
This stuff is like set in your noodle.
I'm trying not to like be too complicated with it.
I did start to drool a little bit when you were talking. God. Just there.
I just said something really basic.
The static started to...
But there, that is like an example of something that I am getting used to, but I really didn't think was a big like roadblock. I thought it would have been much harder to overcome stuff like that.
Learning new things, though. Like, at least you have patience to do those kinds of things. Because if I try to learn something new, I get lost and I get frustrated. And then I'm like, well, I guess I just suck at this. And most times I give up. But sometimes I see it through. You just got to have enough patience to get through the grind. The beginning is a slow start, usually.
There is nothing to like motivate you in the beginning if you don't have someone to push you through it, I think.
That's true.
Because I feel like a lot of the stuff that I do and a lot of stuff that even you do and show me, it's like, just be patient. Like, mm-hmm. you might have... That's why you need to hear it from somebody else, because sometimes you'll have these expectations that are like really wild and you are going crazy with these thoughts in your head and they're spinning and spinning, and you don't realize that what you are doing is basically setting yourself up for failure, because progress is going to be a lot slower than you're expecting.
Yeah, you have to talk me through that a lot when I'm learning something new. Like when we were doing 3D together, which we did episodes, we did episodes on before. You're really good at helping me stay motivated. You give good advice. You give good words of affirmation when it comes to getting work done and staying positive about work and what you're working on.
It's because there's different levels of critique. There's the level of like, oh, are you getting into this? And then there's the levels of, come on, you know better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of beginners get exposed to that, like, oh, come on, you can do better than this. And nobody actually gives them the time.
And then you lose motivation.
Yeah.
Because you're like, wow, I can't even do this. How am I going to expect to do anything else?
Right. And then they're basically squashed at the fundamentals, because what they really needed was patience, not critique.
And someone to be like, yeah, you're doing great. Keep going. Yeah, persevere. Yeah. That's what I keep telling to Dalton. I keep saying when he gets like really stuck on something, or he's like, I wasted my whole day doing something that didn't even work. I'm like, persevere. You're still learning. You're still retaining.
Listen, those days, like, it's fair to admit you didn't learn anything. You were just exposed to it.
But I feel like you still technically learn something, even when stuff doesn't work out. You're still learning something.
It depends. It really does. Sometimes what you learn is just shit is broken and you have to do it yourself.
Sometimes you learn shit sucks.
Yeah, because I was trying to do something with code a couple days ago, and it was really difficult because there was a plugin that I was working on getting installed into a project. And it's very finicky when you're like putting some other program into something that you want to work on, because it has to be compatible with everything you do. So it's good to get that in early. So that's where I was starting with a learning process of this program, was how to install this really complicated plugin. And you have to like rebuild the file that reads everything. And it's like, bitch, I don't know what half this shit says yet. Like, I'm learning.
Is it, okay, when you say rebuild, is that like, I have very little
knowledge. I don't know what
this.
I mean
is
either.
Like,
I'm not going to lie. I really don't know what I mean.
GitHub things, like you got to do the Git and you got to download
that's
it. That's
a and repository.
Build it,
or, that's like,
I don't get that.
That's
stuff.
Basically a zip
it.
File without zipping. Like, you know how you download a bunch of files when you download a zip?
Yes.
That's basically what a repository from GitHub does.
Just suppository.
You're making me think I'm using the wrong
no,
word.
No, you're using
now.
The right word.
No, I know, I'm, but just, oh my,
you just made me think of suppositories.
You're ridiculous.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, so yeah, GitHub is basically like downloading a zip that's not actually a zip. It's like downloading the files just directly.
I used to think it was
directory.
File hosting, but it's more than just that.
GitHub?
Yeah.
It mostly is. It's just a network of programming files. That's it. It's like a social media network for programmers, really.
I wander the World Wide Web and I get lost and I end up in a place that I don't understand anything, but I still appreciate their good company. That's GitHub.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of stuff on there is useful.
It is. There's like,
it's one of the few sites that you go to and you don't dread like sifting through like crappy comments and stuff. It's usually like, so here's a packaged thing that works. Just read these instructions. And it's usually
websites use it.
It's pretty nice, GitHub. I hope we don't take that site for granted in the future.
I feel like we should actually learn it because it. I know websites pull data from there. It's
you're talking about like learn the API? Huh? Like what you're talking about is learning how to use the API.
No.
Like,
freaking okay. No.
Anyway, if that's something we do, I don't see a reason for us to use it.
Yeah.
But I see a reason for us to, like, use stuff from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's essentially just that. Like, we're coding things and doing plugins, and it's like, hey, rebuild the read file for this plugin. And I don't know how to frickin' do that. I don't know what I'm doing. So, yeah, it's ridiculous that it expects you to do so much. And
you'll learn.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's why I feel like I didn't learn anything.
The baby's being pushed out of the nest. I
just
learned
that there's just too much to consider when installing someone else's work, and I might as well just build something from scratch. Which is probably what I'll end up doing, but there are some things that are in this program that you just can't substitute. You need their plugins because they're just done. There's so much heavy lifting that you basically should just use it. You know what I mean when I say that?
Like, if the tool does what you want, you might as well use it.
Not just that, but here, let me give you a good analogy.
I love your analogies. All right.
If you have like a basic appliance, it's like a cheap appliance.
A toaster.
Yeah, like a toaster.
A toaster.
Yeah, and you try to repair that thing.
Okay.
It would be significantly more expensive for you to repair that thing than it would be if you just went to the store and bought a new one from the same manufacturer.
Ah, cost effective.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, you could probably find a way to repair it, but you'd end up spending like 10 times the cost of the toaster.
We're
so you might as well just buy a new one.
Business here.
Yeah. It's like that. It's like if I made a plug-in that would do what I wanted,
yeah,
I might as well sell it. It would be that good.
Wow.
That's because that's how good it would have to be.
I feel like that's where you get held up, though, sometimes, because instead of using something, you're like, this sucks. I could make something better than that that will help me.
But then I do.
Like, you work on that thing.
Then I do.
Hey, yeah, you do.
But I usually end up doing it. I'm in the process of, like, doing that with a lot of the stuff with the channel. Listen, the delays are because we are learning so much. That's why this episode is about
doing some new things, guys.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. You have the stage. You have the floor.
For example, Dalton's been figuring out code and stuff. I've been figuring out t-shirts and things, like digging up old designs and slapping them on a t-shirt for you guys.
You're making it sound like you're putting no effort into them.
Okay, no.
I'm not digging up a gum design and putting them on a t-shirt. Just slapping on there and getting them go, making like a bucks.
I'm trying not to focus so much on the fact that I'm like, buy my merch, buy my merch, buy my merch.
I mean, this whole podcast is about us making things. We might as well, like, talk about us making the things that we are selling.
Well, we made some things. We made some things, and we've gathered some things that we've made. And you can get some silly little stickers of our silly little guys.
Oh, yeah. I have this actually, like, pulled up.
Yeah?
For you. Yeah.
So, oh, hell yeah. We got a new shop, y'all. Yeah, Joptoy.com/shop.
You're talking about the stickers? We have Gamer Set.
You can get some fancy stickers. You can get some stickers of you guys, you see, up there. You could get some. You can wrap your.
I love how it just shows the back on our website.
I don't think it does anymore.
No, that's just funny.
I think it might be fixed now. You can get some pins.
Or
you can represent Kiki and Boba. Somebody bought that sticker sheet.
Ooh.
Someone bought that. We've got a few people buying stuff without us really advertising it yet.
And we do want feedback, so anybody who does buy stuff, please reach back out to us.
Tell us how the quality is.
I genuinely, like, I know a couple of you got this hat. I want to know if it looks embroidered like it does on the picture. Because, of course, this is like a generated thing, but that looks embroidered. And if it doesn't look that good, I want to know.
Take pictures, send it to us.
Yes.
Send it to us.
We will give you a coupon code for another order or whatever. We'll do something for you.
It's new territory for us.
Yeah. Right. Oh, and for a limited time, we are selling a zip file of our old collection.
Oh, yeah.
We're mostly just trying to learn about distributing a podcast because we've not really done it like this before. So it's going to be limited for that reason. It might come back in the future with like the properly like updated format of how we want to distribute it. But for now, this is how we're doing it with zip files.
You can support us.
Yeah, joptoy.com/shop.
We only get a percentage of the sales because we're going through...
Well, there would be cost. The reason why you want to use a service like this, and if you're an artist out there, someone considering something like this.
Yeah, if you want to make merch.
I know the logistics of making physical merch because I've done it before.
He has.
And I've been formally educated on a lot of it.
He has.
And really what it comes down to
is nice merch before
is cost versus price tag. And a lot of the cost and labor that it would take to make a lot of these merch with the kind of equipment that we can provide for ourselves, it just wouldn't be at scale to provide all of our subscribers top quality stuff. It would be like a limited run. We that's probably the best that we could do. And if you're one of those people that thinks you can like go all the way, we're two people and we either have to choose between running a shop or running a YouTube channel. Like,
yeah.
It's really hard to do
shop
both.
Shop kind of has to be on the side.
Yeah. And if
but it helps support us.
If that's something that it feels like for you, where you can only really spend time on making the merchandise art, it doesn't hurt you to go through these services.
You know, like Redbubble? Yeah. I'm sure you guys have heard of Redbubble.
Yeah, and we can't, like, we can't basically verify any of these services are better than the other, because we've had experiences with all of them that were kind of crappy.
Yeah, we've tried all sorts of things. We've had a Spreadshirt. We've had Teespring.
Yeah.
And now we're trying this one.
Over time, it feels like those services will squeeze you for more and more money and just shrink your cut more and more. And it, I don't know, after a while, it doesn't feel like it's worth it. And I think the
profit per sale,
I think it's like the artists are like a herd of animals. And we like, we will migrate from platform to platform as we see fit, basically.
Like we did with Blue Sky.
Oh, that's not going to work.
People jumped ship. Oh my God. And you know what? People were having a panic on Twitter because they were worried they were not going to be able to opt out of AI scanning your things, your art, your posts, and just using it for, what was it, Grok?
Yeah,
is that
that's
what
Twitter's
AI Grok. Thing is? Grok.
Grok.
Sounds like a caveman. And so people were making posts that were like, guys, it's almost time. You better delete everything you have on Twitter. Absolutely everything. Wipe it clean and then deactivate and move over to Blue Sky because they're just going to use it. And then it turned out there's just a little option in your settings. It's like privacy or something.
I think it comes down to consumer trust with that because I can see how people wouldn't trust it.
Oh, yeah. I don't at all.
I think eliminating yourself from the pool of people to view on Twitter with such a massive platform, I think is a mistake in the long run for everybody.
Media preservation.
Yeah. I don't think there's an issue per se with like not liking what Twitter is doing and wanting to jump ship, but I think the issue comes up for each individual user if they're like destroying like maybe even a decade of archiving your stuff.
For real, some people
are going to still discover you through Twitter.
Yeah.
They're not going to just abandon Twitter and then not discover you through it. What I think you should do if you haven't deleted your Twitter yet, but you never want to touch it again, make it just an archive of your stuff, where to find you. Make a billboard of it. Don't delete it because
you have... Yeah, use it as advertisement for where you're at now.
Yeah. Like, no platform is above extracting from. Like, you should extract from whatever platform you can take advantage of while it's still relevant. And your accounts that you have, you don't own, so you might as well take advantage of them.
Like, because Blue Sky right now? Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Are you going to talk about their algorithm?
Yeah.
Because I don't know anything about their algorithm, but I hear it's less restrictive, which, honestly, as a business strategy, that's horrible for them. I don't think it's going to work out. But from a user end perspective,
it's great for us.
Take advantage of it now before it's too late, because they're going to have to lock that shit down later.
The deal is on Twitter, if you link anything off site, if you tag anybody, if you use hashtags, if you use specific words like commissioned, sale, things like that, you're automatically going to have your post like buried and not seen by many people.
Some of those words don't make sense, like commission. Like,
no, they hate it.
People can't talk about making money.
No, you literally cannot. Anything that seems like an advertisement is just absolutely buried. And like whatever they consider to be like problem words. But on Blue Sky, I think the team or the mods, whatever, that are working there, they're like, no, we want you to have your stuff seen. We want you to be able to link to your other sites and your other social media. And so your stuff is not going to get buried. You can use all the hashtags you want. You can tag people. You can link to your freaking commission sales. Link to your shop. Link to a YouTube video that you made. So we're taking advantage of that now while it lasts. So
the guy who made Twitter, his name was Jack Dorsey.
Oh, you know his, yeah. His name? Wow.
And he had this idea of Twitter that I feel like is really important to focus on right now, because I think this is the reason why alternatives fail. And I think Blue Sky ultimately, even if it's a financial success, it will never be a cultural success. People will never adapt Blue Sky as Twitter, because Twitter, by the words of the founder, was a discovery, not a product. He feels like he found Twitter. It's a social order that he discovered, that he packaged into a product. It's not a product of anything that he came up with, in his own words.
Really?
So, yeah. So his view of Twitter is like, we discovered it.
Okay.
And that's why I think you can't replicate it, because they're the first in best dressed. And it doesn't matter what they do now, because they have what they have. Too Big to Fail is a thing that Twitter can actually like prove itself to be, because it's gone through so many changes since it was created, that it's just going to succeed no matter what. That's why sending people off platform is a dying business strategy. It's because deep down, when you have to make money off your platform, you don't want them leaving. You would have to some degree, extract some money out of the people who find it most beneficial to send people off platform. So that would mean charging people like you and me, the artists, to compensate for the fact that all the potential advertising is leaving the platform because you're advertising.
Yeah.
So in the long run, Blue Sky will be run by advertisers.
I guess.
And you will be the advertiser. There. That's how it'll work.
Dang.
That's the only way I can see it surviving financially.
So logic brain, you know.
But I think Twitter succeeds without that, because they're keeping people on platform. The only people who will benefit from that kind of an ecosystem are the people to... That's why I say take advantage of it and extract.
Well,
I use those words.
The problem with Twitter is that they don't even tell you that those things get you hidden.
I know.
You don't know when you're hidden.
The ambiguousness is what creates the like bubble that Blue Sky is trying to fill. But at the same time, financial success isn't dictated by that. Like, the things that are driving people to Blue Sky. And if they don't have a crackdown on, like, people leaving the platform constantly because all of your users are being sent away, then you're going to have to implement something like Twitter does. Like, where it'll just keep them on just a little longer, even if it's at the detriment of promoting things.
Yeah.
Because it even if you care about the artists, it's about more than that with these companies. It's about surviving.
I guess so. Like, and they're going to have to make their money somehow. I don't know how Blue Sky's making money yet.
Well,
I don't know how they're going to manage all these accounts and all that.
You can take like DeviantArt and Newgrounds as an example.
And DeviantArt is a shit example of anything.
Well, they're good examples of websites that are not dependent on the like advertising, and it's like half dependent on users.
They do advertise though.
Right, but it's not entirely dependent on the advertising like Twitter is, and Blue Sky is at currently, I'm guessing, because I don't think they have any, like, premium or anything, do they?
Twitter or Blue Sky?
Blue Sky.
Not that I know of.
And, like, that's another thing I didn't even consider. Twitter, you can pay for Blue, and that's supposed to be some kind of, like, boost for brands and stuff.
I don't believe that.
I don't entirely either, but I feel like a lot of people still buy into it for that.
Anybody can get the blue check mark.
Yeah.
And I don't think it does anything. And in fact, it usually pisses more people off when they see it. I see more people being mad about blue check marks than anything.
Yeah.
And so Tumblr did something to make fun of them, but it also, it's technically doing the same thing because you can buy like a bunch of check mark badges and hats and shit.
Okay. It's silly because like, it's just proving that companies can do what they want and be like, ha ha, we're just telling a joke. Let's do the same thing, but make it more egregious. Like, let's just sell them 5 subscriptions. No, 10. It's the same thing. It's just, that's why I don't get the brand fighting that people get invested into. Like, dude, did you see what Wendy's said to Burger King?
God, I remember that being funny for like a month and then it got annoying.
Yeah, because then you realize, oh my God, they're advertising to us through memes.
And then every company started to do it.
Ha ha ha, throws $4.99 McNuggets at you. Ha ha ha, throws $3.99 Nuggets, Wendy's Nuggets at you. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Ha, $2.99 BK Nuggets. It's like,
what?
Arby's has entered the chat. Here. It's like, okay, oh, we okay. get it. We get it. You guys are advertising.
A meme dies when it becomes corporate.
It really does.
Every time a corporation, what's the word?
Appropriates
a meme, an angel loses its wings.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly. It,
I hate social media.
Brands ruin everything. Yeah.
Social media ruins everything.
It does too. Everything's ruined. Everything.
You guys come here to be sad about shit.
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't know.
This one you really had to think. We really gave you things to think about. This one.
Well, I mean, I really wanted to talk about like the blue sky stuff without getting super into like the current stuff and focus more on like the business side of stuff because I feel
we're
like,
on there, by the way.
I think that's far more interesting to me than... Oh, ha ha! Which giant corporation's gonna win in the end of this one?
Like, it's like I don't care, man. Yeah, I just want to post my art.
Yeah, I don't give a shit either. And
I just want to place the post that where people can see it.
Yeah, if you're on Blue Sky now, especially if you're one of those people who deleted your Twitter account, take advantage of it now. Dump that following into another major platform as fast as you can.
Maybe your own website, even.
Just some other platform, because you are going to lose that in the long term. We have seen
Blue Sky as a funnel, okay?
Yeah, we've seen sites like these, like, they go all in. They're like, we're going to compete. And then they just give up.
Remember or, VidMe?
Yeah, that's one that I really remember. We put a lot of time into this site called VidMe, which was a former porn site, and they were trying to compete with YouTube just out of nowhere, like really hard. And we dumped a bunch of our videos there, and
wait,
just
VidMe
had
VidMe was porn.
It used to be, yeah, but
for
we started dumping our videos on there when they were competing with YouTube, and we're just soft scheduling them. We barely even focused on it. But we still spent time setting up that site, and we realized there's a lot of like time that goes into investing into multiple platforms. So you really have to be picky these days.
Why we're not on TikTok yet, aside from the fact that I don't want a TikTok.
It makes it hard because you genuinely do have to like make a day out of some of this stuff. And that's why we're very limited on how like where we publish and why our podcast is being circulated with an RSS feed instead of us posting each one on everything, because we wouldn't do it. It would take too much time. But with things like Blue Sky, listen, dump that following now, because that bubble will burst, and we have seen it before.
ADHD be damned, my boy can talk on a subject.
Even things that, even if that site is financially successful, which I've seen social media sites that have been up for like a decade. They can stay up for a long time, but they're ghost ships in a lot of cases.
Is Vimeo still a thing? Remember
yes,
Vimeo?
Yes, Vimeo is still a thing.
When you couldn't find something on YouTube, you'd go to Vimeo.
Mm. That was Dailymotion.
Dailymotion!
Which is also still a thing.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure. Last time I checked.
Is PhotoBucket still a website? Or is that gone?
I think PhotoBucket's gone. But
any of you remember that?
My point being, like, these sites can operate with no users for a long time, and you'll be using it as if it's, like, as if it's the year that it was all popular. Like, it's a bubble.
It is like a ghost website. I like that.
I don't think Blue Sky is doomed to fail. I just don't think they're set up to succeed.
You don't think it's going to be the next big thing?
No, because Twitter is its thing.
It did pass. It passed it on the popular apps.
That's a short-term thing.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like if a stock goes up, everyone's paying attention to it. Everyone's like, whoa, did you see? That stock went skyrocketing. And those same companies we've seen go extinct. They just disappear. It's just they're having a surge. It's what they do with this what will make them either financially successful or not. But I think we were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be a competitor to Facebook. There's not going to be a competitor to YouTube. No. There's not going to be a competitor to Twitter.
Unfortunately, there probably isn't going to be one to DeviantArt either. Because they keep trying.
Yeah,
and
but
they keep,
like,
failing.
Artists are more of a niche. I'm talking about mainstream stuff. Like, things that, like, your mother would have on her
phone. My mom! Hi, Mom!
Like, Facebook. Probably Instagram, which is owned by Facebook.
But I'm trying to keep up with our Instagram, but I just don't care for it.
But the reason why I say there's not going to be a competitor,
yeah,
it's because YouTube and Facebook aren't competing. They're just not. TikTok and YouTube aren't competing. They might think they are. Nobody's going to watch long-form videos on TikTok, and nobody's going to watch shorts on YouTube like they do with the main content that they've popularized.
I guess so.
Just like, that's why I think Vine was the stupidest, like, fumble of all time.
Vine was so
Vine was like this discovery, just
they
like
really
Twitter.
Did fumble.
And they just gave it to TikTok. They handed it over on a silver platter.
So sad.
It's ridiculous. I will never understand the closing of Vine. That was a worthwhile investment they should have stuck with. I just really don't understand that decision. That one was crazy to me. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, move your audience. That's all I have to say. That's my
This has been advice. A video for the creators, for the people who are trying to create things, for the people who are trying to make a career of creating things.
Or just build an audience.
Or build an audience, yeah. You just want people to care about your stuff.
Yeah.
This has been the video for you.
Yeah, like I said earlier, artists are just a herd.
We are.
We should migrate to what's best.
And we have to stick together. We're stronger when we stick together.
Yeah. Like, long-winded, which is kind of the point of podcasts.
Yeah.
That was my way of saying Twitter is Twitter. There will not be another Twitter. There might be another site that feels like Twitter,
but not
quite. Isn't Twitter.
And I mean, that is Blue Sky. It does really look like Twitter.
No, I mean, like, in a different way. It feels like Twitter. It looks like Twitter. If you weren't looking at the logo, you'd think it was Twitter. And that's what's wrong with it. It wants to be Twitter. It's got to make a...
Something's got to be its own thing.
Yeah. Like, let's say we were in the scenario where Twitter had a competitor in, or was the competitor to itself, right?
Yeah.
Let's say there was we'll take the Twitter from 2016 that had Vine that attached to it.
Did it?
Yeah. Remember?
It had Vine attached to it?
Twitter was Vine.
What?
Yeah. That's why it was like embedded into your profile.
It was?
Yeah, you could dual account. I'm like 90% sure it was Vine. Yeah.
I don't know why that's so shocking, but...
But that's like the example I'm giving with that is if Twitter had Vine, it would have outcompeted itself, but in that space, making a new niche.
All right,
that's why those two companies don't feel like the same, because it would have made a new product. You can't replace Twitter, but you can make another product
irreplaceable
that is springboarded with your platform, Blue Sky, I think they can turn it into something that can just be its own thing. But if it if it thinks it's going to take down Twitter or compete with it, it's just not going to happen. You'd have to wait for Twitter to die. Like, the platform would have to fall.
You only need to stop using Twitter like it's the freaking news.
Okay, listen.
Everybody's on Twitter. Can we, like, stop having everybody on Twitter, though?
I agree, but I also think that Twitter used to be the best place for news. Before anyone realized it was a place to get news, it was actually really good to get news from Twitter because it was a niche within Twitter to have news.
Was it?
Yes. So a lot of groundbreaking news happened on Twitter. Like, breaking news was used to be fed through these major networks. You'd have to hear it through the TV. All these networks were rushing to have these stories put out. And then suddenly in like 2012, like we're talking like a long time ago, these like random kids on the streets were just at a protest and they filmed something and then they posted it to Twitter. And that
and so
tweet,
they were the first to really get any documentation of it.
Right. And then for a long time, there was a lot of legitimacy to being a Twitter journalist because there was just so much good information out there.
And then you'd see all those accounts being like, hello, I'm with whatever news. I would like to use your video.
That used to be all over Twitter. But you want to know why that doesn't happen anymore?
Because it just is.
I can give you my conspiracy why I think that doesn't happen anymore.
Lay it on me, red freaky cat.
I think foreign governments have infiltrated Twitter to such a degree that the bots have unironically taken over the discourse, or at least did for a long time. I don't know if it's still a problem, but it's still a problem, probably. And I think they saw all these breaking news stories coming out of Twitter, and then they're like, oh my God. The American people are really trusting this source.
Oh my God.
We should taint it with bad information. They'll believe every fucking thing. That's what I think happened. What we were infiltrating.
We are pretty dumb. We do kind of just like believe everything and anything that we see.
I think,
like,
it goes a little
without
beyond
even
that.
Questioning it.
I think if it looks official, feels official, it's official. That's how we operate.
Yeah.
That's why I think tweets have become so, like, sought after. If someone says it is, basically. That's why
I
the verification.
Therefore,
my favorite politician said this. My favorite creator said this.
Oh.
My mother said this. You know, like, it matters.
Mom, no.
I mean, but like it. Once it's online, it's like you stamped it and mailed it.
You made it. You made it exist.
Yeah, like it's
you
beyond.
You put it out into the world.
Just you thought it at that point. But yeah.
That's like when you say horrible things and I automatically have to imagine it because that's just how my brain works. And you'll say some horrible things and I gotta see it. You put me through that. You put it out into the world. And now I have to think it. Like, now I suffer.
Yeah. I think social media is making this like generational suffering. Like, we're all suffering through the same thing at the same time, but it's all like artificial. Like, a lot of the stuff that gets shared online is either old stories or just, like, really sad personal stories that people, I don't know, like, I'll see these things that people post where it's, like, two people, like, get into a fight or, like, some dumb shit like that. And you're just, I think.
It's like, oh, this feels bad.
Yeah, I think when something like that gets millions of views versus something that is just, I don't know, a cat or, like, someone's pet. That creates a culture where everyone just kind of demoralized, like, wow, I imagine myself getting beat up and now I'm sad.
Yeah, you remember when we had news about Crispy Bacon? Huh?
Oh, yeah, that's Crispy Bacon. And then the news anchor just loses it.
You remember news about a fat cat getting some exercise on like a water treadmill?
They
or
did
something?
Do stuff like that, yeah. See, that's
a
the
guy,
kind of...
A guy standing next to a show turkey and running away because
oh
it
God.
Flapped at him too hard.
Yeah. I mean, there are some, like, really funny things like
I
that.
I love
that
the mundane.
Viral,
we must look in front of us. Look outside.
That's kind of why our podcast has stuck to being so mundane. It's because we almost want to participate in something that's not high stakes all the time. I think that's, listen.
We're little and freaky and we matter.
I think this is why Mr. Beast has ruined the shit out of YouTube. Because like every fucking thing, like I'm not kidding. Look at all this crap in the room, okay? All right, you see all this stuff and we're constantly changing it. Like, let me zoom into Emmy. Look, all right, she's got like names in the background. Whoa. We have a QR code. We have shit on the phone. You got, what is that, Mario Party and some shit over here. Look, we got screens. We got all this. We got the bouncing DVD logo. You got me looking at, I don't know, some fucking infomercial. All right, why do we have all this stuff? Yes, we enjoy designing things and it's fun. Yeah. But this stuff isn't random. We actually have thought about all the crap in the room. And you want to know why everything is in motion. Everything, like, we've done these little extra things to make it all, like, come together. It's because even though we've done all this stuff, people who are younger just can't focus on our show.
And not just people who are younger, because I, too.
No, you watch our stuff. You're the one who previews them.
I do watch it.
But, people are younger, they're like, I can't focus on it. Like, that's just, either you're interested in the topics or you're not.
There is a very genuine focused issue with the younger generations. They literally cannot sit down and focus on anything. And it's a problem in schools, too.
I think they're overstimulated.
They are!
And they come here and it's like,
They cannot focus.
It's just two people sitting down having a conversation. And that's why I'm like, it's okay to not find it interesting, but I can't focus on the conversation because there's not enough going on. Is like, we've gotten that more than I would have thought. Honestly, a lot of people are coming to the podcast and commenting shit like that, and it's like, what else can we do?
Dude, I'm mesmerized by your mouth moving.
I don't know what else we can do.
Look at the shiny rainbow logo. It's not rainbow anymore.
Oh my god. But I don't know. It's not like I'm like, oh, how else can we cram stuff in here? I'm sure we can think of a million things that we could cram in here. That like
Bright,
that's not the point. The
lights.
Point more so is like, how is there not enough going on?
Guy because getting kicked in the nuts.
I've shown people the podcast in my personal life and their eyes are going all over the place. Like, what the fuck is over there? Huh? Wait, what? They're like, why are there all these details? Whoa. But then you get like to a Zoomer and it's like, you got goobers, yo? Yeah, yo, I love these goobas. Hey, yo, I love these goobas. I love the goobas, man. Hey, I'm going to get some of these goobas.
Get one goobas.
Boom. All right. See, I have brain rot, too. I just don't have a
degree.
Oh, my
God, we brain rot at each other all the time.
Yeah.
We do nothing but, like, parrot things at each other. We're like an echo chamber. Okay, so you know those two little like they're like phone things or toys and they repeat the sound back at you but higher pitch and faster.
Oh my god.
So if you just like make them talk to each other back and forth enough, it just turns into loud screaming static. That's us. That's us in real life.
Okay. We went to this like I think it was a zoo or something and they had these we were allowed to get one thing because it was like Christmas or something. I don't remember.
Well, when you were a kid?
Yeah, yeah. So I got a talking parrot and so did my brother. And all they did was like they'd just repeat things back in like high pitch. So we would just talk into them. And then we'd put the other parrot next to it and then they would just go high pitch every time. And it kept going higher and higher and higher. And then it would just go beep, beep. We would just laugh our ass off. It was just funny for no reason.
I'm laughing just thinking about it. I love that. I love when things just turn into garbled mess.
It's like when two AIs talk to each other, but worse.
Yeah.
Two radios play each other's frequencies back.
Ow.
It's like, you know, like you ever hear the feedback from a amplifier and a mic? Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, I think we've all heard that whenever you go to like an event. Usually happens at lower
up to
budget
a speaker
shit
or something.
Yeah,
and then it's that really loud like ear bleeding. Speaking of screeches and loud sounds, our garage door, when it gets cold out, it gets dry. And the garage, when it opens, it's like,
oh my God, I hate it so much. You're just going out there to get the mail and it's just screaming at you and mechanical.
I actually have to plug my ears. I have to cover my ears. It bothers me so much. I feel it in my whole body.
It's terrible. It pierces right through your head.
Just like I just did to everyone.
Yep. Dang. Yeah, I hate that.
It's really, really bad. In the winter, everything gets dry. And the one good part about that is that all the leaves that were on the ground previously that were kind of floppy are now crispy, crunchy. You can stomp on them all you want. That's something about me. If I see a nice leaf on the ground, I'm going to crunch it.
They're not like that anymore.
Well, okay, once it's snow, the good part about that is like when there's a perfect blanket of snow, untouched by anything, I need to like run through it. I need to destroy it. I need to ruin it immediately.
If you leave the snow alone, then it will become packing snow.
And it looks so beautiful, but there's just something about it. I just gotta like throw my whole body into it. And I see beautiful, perfect snow.
Have you ever done that and the snow is hard?
Yes. That like you go to fall in it hurts. And it like hurts
your
knees.
Your back. Oh, I've like gone back first like that. Like,
because you think it's gonna be nice snow. You're gonna do a little snow angel. And instead, like,
you break your back.
Your bones shatter.
Oh boy, snow angel.
Ouch, oh youch. And it's glass shards everywhere.
Have you been cut by like snow and ice?
I don't know, but I have a fear of one of the icicles dropping into my head.
That's an irrational fear.
My cranium. Well, no, in a movie. I'm not going to say what movie it was, but it ended with the bad guy getting an icicle through the head.
I don't think that can happen.
And it just happened. I don't.
Like, you'd have to have sharpened the icicle. Or it would have had to have been so massive, it'd probably crush your head.
Maybe it's
before it would pierce through it, honestly. I think you should be more afraid of it giving you a concussion.
And also, the guy that died to that should have gotten tortured more. He should have been put through a much, much, much worse painful death. Everlasting death, if possible.
Everlasting death?
Yeah. Painful death. That's how I feel about that. And I don't want to say the movie because I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it, even though it's like years and years and years and years and years old. And it's based on a book. So if you know that.
Someone reading a book about to watch a movie. Oh, did you just spoil it for me?
No, there's no way you'd know that. I think that might have even been like movie only ending.
I hate when they change movies, like the books in the movies, because a lot of times it just ruins it. You know what I mean?
I think about the Harry Potter, the one that everyone references being different from the book, is when Dumbledore calmly walks up to Harry and asks him if he threw the thing in the goblet of fire or whatever.
Oh, but yeah, in the movie, he's like aggressive.
I threw the goblet of fire.
Potter! Did you throw anything in the goblet of fire? What did you say? Oh my God!
Oh,
are you having
me,
a stroke?
I'm Harry Potter. It's me, Harry Potter.
Oh my God!
In the goblet of fire.
You know, they at least like Harry Potter divided something into two movies, like one of their books into two movies.
Yeah.
Because it was so large and they wanted to like actually fit the information in.
Uh-huh.
But even that series, there were some stuff they missed out.
Really?
Yeah. In the first movie, I think the last scene or the first scene of the movie. I don't remember.
I'm kind of surprised you know this because you don't read books.
Nah, not really. But
or
it
enjoy
was,
many movies.
It was just something that I more so knew about. But one of the things that they happened in the book was he had his head shaved And what? Then they when? Used a spell to grow it back.
Oh.
But you can see why they probably would have skipped that scene.
Oh, come on. They could have CGI'd that. Right? Or they could have bald capped him like Walter White had to wear a bald cap to look bald, yeah, but and then his head looked giant.
It would have had to have been pretty like high budget because he would have had to look shaved, not bald.
What book was it? Like how late?
The first one, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
It either happened in the first scene. Where like in like the beginning of the book or the end, because here's why I'm not sure. When I was a kid, I like thought about that with the movie because I'm like, why wouldn't they include that? And yeah. I thought, oh, it's because they would have had to have filmed that scene at the end of production. And that's why I'm unsure, because my like I have thought about it logically, like why they wouldn't have included
one of the things
scene.
That sticks with you, huh?
Yeah. So I actually don't remember if it was the beginning or end of the book, but. Or I could just be making this up. Someone told me a lie about the book because I didn't read it and I believed it. And
I
just.
Oh, so that's
and
why
I just
knew you didn't
scene.
Read it. Yeah. I'm like, there's no way.
And I'm just like sitting there thinking, like, you really thought I read the book?
What if that didn't happen? What if they're just lying?
Yeah, what if someone lied to me? But no, I'm pretty sure that was in the book.
Was that the person you took advantage of to do the test, the book test on?
No. I'm pretty sure my mom told me that. I'm pretty sure she read the books.
I thought I remembered that. Didn't she like read books?
She read like the first or second books and like didn't really read past that. But yeah, we just started watching.
I think my mom read them too.
That's bizarre to me because my mom is not a book reader. Like,
no?
It would be a little jarring if I walked in the living room and my mother had a book in her hand and it wasn't
what
the Bible.
Really? Oh. Oh.
Like, that would just be like, what? Like, what are you reading? You're reading a book? If she was watching a movie, that'd be like, oh, all right.
The movies are different. She loves those bloody movies.
Yeah. But a book? That's why I like my mom. Like, I'm thinking back,
oh, yeah,
like,
I
my mom read Harry Potter. That's weird.
She didn't like reading. And I'm like, oh, that's where he gets it from.
Oh, my God. Does your mom like reading?
Yeah, she loves reading.
Is she the type to just sit around with a book?
Yeah.
Nobody in my family's like that. My sister might be, but like
I would do that. I used to read books.
You read graphic novels.
No. I also read books though. I like actually.
I've
read
never
books.
Seen you with anything but a graphic novel.
Okay, well that was the weeb me. You met me in full blown weebness. Okay.
Reading books in third grade doesn't count.
Oh my God! I've read books since the third grade.
I don't know when the last time I read a book was. Nobody inspired me to read. Nobody ever, like, gave me anything that was interesting.
You haven't gotten lost in a book world before?
No.
Really?
No.
Wow.
I've, like, read books because I had to, so I didn't enjoy them.
Huh.
Like, when you have to read books, you remember some of them, but I don't get lost in book worlds because nobody ever... Even, like, books for entertainment... were chores because I knew at the end of it all I was going to be quizzed and judged for how much I enjoyed the book. If I see here was the problem.
I guess how much you remember would be how much you actually enjoyed.
If I did read books with materials that I liked, I just remember the shit that I liked.
Yeah.
Who cares if you're following the story if you're reading for entertainment? Like,
well, if you chose the book and you knew you were going to have to take a test on it, wouldn't you want to pick a book that you feel like you'd like?
Yes, I tried that. But you know what the problem is with that?
Yeah, what?
When you're being quizzed for something that you're picking to enjoy.
Well, did you read it all?
Well, no, listen. I this is kind of the point I was explaining.
All right.
If I picked a book that I wanted to read for entertainment, meaning I just wanted to read a book, what the fuck does it matter if I retained... every little detail.
I guess they would ask you really specific details.
Yeah, they would ask you like things that you would just, it's like a needle in the haystack.
To prove that you read it.
Yeah, I felt like I was being
so
called
it didn't feel
out.
Genuine.
And so like I couldn't actually enjoy the book because it was just a choice. If I don't digest everything, I'm going to get points off and then I would be held back and it would just, I don't know, there's just so much pressure on reading shit as a kid. I hated it. And I know I've told this story before, but they did that stupid points test thing that I always screwed myself with because I picked the high point ones and would just fail the tests. And oh my God.
Who else was out there picking Harry Potter thinking they could pass the test because they watched the movies? I was one of those.
Oh, I really hated that stuff. And the questions were also super unfair. They weren't like proof that you read it even.
Man,
they were just
holding a grudge on this.
Because I'm telling you, nobody inspired me to read. It's not that it's not that I'm too stupid to learn to read. It's that people were too picky.
Not being interested in reading doesn't make you stupid.
People were just too controlling and picky over what I had to take from reading.
Yeah, Dalton is a very, I mean, look at him. He's a cat. So he's a very cat person. He's very stubborn. And if you tell him to do something, it's going to make him want to do it less.
Well, it's more than that. It's not like being told what to do. It's just being like being verified in that way. Just
being told how to do it.
Yeah. I'm not being shown.
Not told what to do, but how to do it.
Yeah. Like, I'm not being shown, like, reading can be fun, and it can be also educational, because books can lead to knowledge. Just like watching a fucking video can lead to knowledge, too!
Yeah, that's true.
But we don't sit around saying, kids should watch more videos! We should... No!
Reading is important.
So if it's a book for entertainment, don't fucking quiz me like it's science!
Oh, and you know what? We also don't take into account that there's people that struggle with visualizing things. So reading a book might be a completely different experience for some kids.
I don't think I have too much issues visualizing what I'm reading. I think my issue comes when it's I'm trying to retain details. Because, you know, you guys have seen me play video games on this channel for years. You know I'm the type of person that if I walk into a room, I turn around and try and walk a different direction that I'm not supposed to walk. First, in a lot of cases, especially games where there's a lot of like turns and curves, because this started with, ironically, Crash Bandicoot.
I knew it.
One time in Crash 2, you had to walk towards the screen in one of the levels. It was like one of the ice levels. Mm. And if you walked towards the screen, you'd find one of the hidden gems or crystals. And I always remember having to go that way. Or maybe it was like the there were boxes that you had to get the crystal. Yeah. Something like that. But I remember having to walk the wrong direction towards the camera when your instinct of that game is always walk away from the camera.
That's true. And that's true. That you like almost never walk towards the camera in any Crash game.
Yeah. So if you want someone like me to enjoy reading, don't make everything that I do a turn in the wrong direction. Because I get that you think you're turning me into the right direction by saying, oh, you should know all this stuff. You read the book. But maybe
What if you retained it a different way?
Yeah, maybe I didn't care about that stuff. Maybe I got really invested in, like, another part of the story. Because some stories will have, like, A and B plots. I mean, most stories do. But what if you're more interested in the B plot and they quiz you on the A plot? Or what if they think they're being snarky and they quiz you on the B plot thing and you thought it was all about the A plot?
What if you start believing in Jamie's redemption arc and his possibility of being with Brienne and getting over his sister only for it to be thrown away and he dies with his fucking sister stupid and sent... I'm sorry.
What? I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm still mad. I'm still mad about it.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of people would do better if they just didn't have someone breathing down their neck saying, you're doing it wrong.
Hey, where's the other eye? How come she's naked?
The lesson that they are trying to teach you when they want you to read books is retain it. I get that. But it doesn't mean I have to always retain the crap that I read. I don't retain every video I watch. I don't retain all the dialogue, but I get the gist of it. I can retain it enough to where I enjoy the material.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I think it's anti what the books are. And then you get people who write books and they might be critically acclaimed, but everyone hates reading them because the school makes it seem gay. I'm sorry. They really just make things just really not fun.
Are you saying gays can't be fun?
Yeah, I'm saying that. That's exactly what I'm saying, guys. Let's try harder.
Let's try harder, guys.
I think we could do better. Yeah. But I don't know. I want people to educate in a different way. I think the way we do it sucks.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really inspire everybody. Hey, listen, it works for some people. It clearly does. You send them through the system and they're set for life. People like me need a different route. It's just how it is. And I think it's like there are two different types of learning, and one's always going to look more fun to the other. You know what I mean?
The grass is always greener.
But they'll always act like it's fake. Like, oh, that's not a real way of doing it. Like, let's bring this up to like an adult level, okay?
I feel like we've got the point across.
Honestly. No. I go to college
to get more knowledge.
Right? You don't.
I go to Jupiter.
You work like a job. You make money,
to get
right?
More stupider.
But well, I'm serious. I'm being serious.
Okay.
You get a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I go to college.
Yeah.
I pay money to sit in a room and learn.
Yep.
While you get paid to do the work in the field.
Uh-huh.
You get to do the real thing.
Yeah.
Well, I get to play simulation and pay money.
Oh.
I can see how some people will look at that comparison and be like, man, I got the raw end of the deal. Everyone's having so much fun on that side.
Oh,
I think that's why it can be kind of difficult to divide education that way, because one side might always look more fun. Like, what if the other side is just all videos? Or they're just always watching YouTube videos all day. And it's all educational stuff, but it's way more interesting because like things are animated. But then maybe that stunts them because they're not actually like a visual learner like that. Maybe they're a more logical learner.
Like you.
But it's more fun to be on the visual learner side.
Yeah, it is.
But that's what I think it's like with education, where I would thrive under like, we're okay today, kids. We're watching a video on this topic.
Thank God.
But I don't think I would thrive if my teachers were just explaining it and I was reading a book. I just don't retain stuff that way. I need like someone to show me.
I did not take notes well. Like, I get the whole point is figuring out a way to take notes for yourself that works. I would just copy down everything that they wrote, and then I would draw on the side of them. And then I would get lost. I didn't care.
They probably just didn't teach you how to do it correctly.
No, I think it was a me problem, more so.
I don't know. Yeah, you do still kind of struggle with that a little bit. It's just like, write down your tasks, and you're like, I don't know.
I can't know. Absolutely not.
What you're really supposed to do is you're supposed to kind of just take notes for yourself for later. Like, oh, I've got to do this thing. I'll write it down instead of doing it immediately. That's what people without ADHD do.
Oh my God, I got in so much trouble for not using my assignment book or whatever you would call it. Ledger.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't use it. I would draw in it rather than actually use it, and I'd get in trouble for that too.
I wouldn't use it very often, but I would doodle in it. But when I did use it, it was because I was losing track of shit. So I would write things down that I like had to do, so I knew what I turned in when I didn't.
I don't know what my freaking problem was.
It's probably because you have ADHD and nobody ever taught you to write things down instead of going on impulse and just doing it.
Yeah, once I was medicated in sophomore year, started in summer school, I definitely got better grades. I took better notes. And God, did I want to do math homework. Like, so bad. Like, that was a different me. It activated something in my brain.
I think that's just because, I don't know, you were... See, that's what I'm saying with ADHD. It's like,
I'm capable. I'm definitely capable.
I feel like if you just wrote things down, you would just be more focused instead of impulsing that, like, oh, I thought about it. Now I got to do it.
I don't do anything efficiently. I was trying to describe this to you the other day, but I was like, so imagine I have a pile that I'm working on. I started working on this pile. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm focusing on. But like, I still have other piles that I need to work on. So when stuff starts coming around me, I'm like, oh, I got to sort this into that pile, and I got to sort this into that pile. And once those things go away, I try to go back to the first pile that I started. But if I see other things in my peripherals, I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to miss it. If I don't take care of it and sort it now, I'm going to forget. I'm going to miss it. So I sort those things. And then I make my way back to the first one. And then maybe eventually I start forgetting about the first one. And then I'm like, I have all these incomplete piles. And then I just keep making more and more piles because I love to categorize. I love to start things. I love to accumulate and work on things as I think about them. But then I don't always remember to complete the first task. It's the equivalent of like, okay, I have something I need to go upstairs and grab. But, oh my gosh, I noticed that the animals need some water. Let me do that first real quick.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think just like I said, writing it down is something that would probably help you a lot.
I have to get more into the habit of writing stuff down. I used to take a lot of notes, typing and stuff.
But this whiteboard in our workroom, and we use it. But then after a while, we just doodle on it and stop using it. And then we get disorganized and we're like, oh, what do we have to do today? I don't know. I forgot. What's the board say? I don't know. The things we wrote a week ago because we started drawing crap on it.
No, that's not why we stop.
No. I'm not saying that's why we stop, but that is like when we stop. Like when we stop, we just tend to just doodle on it.
And then just, you say that.
I mean, it's not like we weren't both doing it.
I have Dalton in a little beanie hat and a scarf because it's cold out now.
Oh my gosh.
And there's lilies. I draw a bunch of lilies. Listen.
But yeah, when we write stuff down, it does help a lot. And it does make the difference of like getting stuff done and not getting stuff done. It's the commitment. It's because your ADHD doesn't trust your time management. Since you don't trust your time management, you're just impulsively going to go for it because you think, if I don't do it now, it's not getting done.
Yeah, literally. That's why I have a hard time finishing a lot of art things too, or like certain projects. It's like, okay, I need to do this whole thing in one run while I am this person thinking these thoughts. I have to be locked in and complete this thing. Otherwise, it's probably just not going to get done. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, well, I have an idea for something else and I need to do that right now. Yeah. So I do that.
Being bombarded with those kind of responsibilities when you're young, I think, primes you to be like that when you're older. Because you're relieved by the fact that you have nothing to do. And I hate that because I'm never relieved when I have nothing to do now. Like when I was a kid, when I got home, I'm like, ooh, time to decompress. I feel good. Yeah. But like as an adult, I don't feel that like, time to decompress. It's
never
more of
feel
like
we got enough done to begin with. So we're like, well, we don't deserve to decompress yet.
Yeah. Like I feel like I need to get like more than the average day of work done. Yeah. In order to feel like I got anything done.
That's a big problem we both have.
And then you crash, and then you're like, I need an entire day to recover and do nothing.
Yeah, and then you feel worse because you didn't do anything.
Yeah, so you feel lazy, but what you're really doing
is cycle
managing your time poorly.
Yeah. That's just like falling into the pit of staying up late because you slept in and you didn't get enough done, or you just didn't do enough during the day. So you're like, I'm going to make up for it by staying up all night and doing all these things. But then you screw up your sleep schedule and then you're tired and then you're just going to be stuck in a loop of never getting what you want done during the day and you're just going to sleep.
Yeah, it's a cycle. And I don't think it helps that there are things that are distracting kind of push the needle a little further. So let's say you get up late, right?
Yeah.
Well, what if you get distracted by your freaking phone? Then you're going to end up starting your work even later.
Yeah, bedtime, laying in bedtime and phone is very rabbit hole-ish.
Yeah. And I don't know. That's why I personally, I try to avoid social media. I don't even really, I don't have like any apps installed except for YouTube. And even then, I only really listen to stuff when I go to the bathroom. And
I don't listen to anything. I just scroll.
Yeah, I try not to scroll because I feel like, okay, if you pick a video, it's this amount of minutes.
You can set it. You have a way. You have a cutoff.
Yeah, you know when you're done, you can just wrap it up.
Scrolling, infinite scrolling. Whoever made that function, infinite scrolling. I'm gonna find you.
It's good if you are not the type of person to want to think much about the content you're consuming. It's horrible if you're consuming content that matters to you because
Tumblr gets me stuck.
Well, by design, these sites are meant to maximize how long you're going to be there. Yeah. So they have already calculated through either algorithms doing this by default, or they've just figured it out and hard programmed this stuff in there. But the posts are designed to be the perfect posts to keep you on the website. And all these posts that are identified are all mashed together and put onto your timeline every day.
I know. And that's like with the things that track you.
Yeah, that's why a lot of algorithms don't change much like they felt like they used to. It felt like the algorithm changed every couple minutes on YouTube. And lately it feels like it changes maybe every other day, every week. And it will change what it gives you every day, but the algorithm doesn't really feel like it refreshes all that often. And I noticed that I'll see a video on my timeline, right? And then, like, my brother or you will just start describing that video to me. And it's just like,
we're all being served the same thing.
Yeah. The algorithm is not varied anymore.
No, not at all.
It is more centralized. And now that we're all being served similar stuff, and it's not just like, I didn't see that viral video. Yeah, these are... No, that's more so what I'm saying. Like, these viral videos are becoming more niches than everyone seeing it.
Yeah.
And when people are describing the videos that, like, I'm talking about, it's videos with maybe, like, 10,000 views. That's why it's, like, that's why I'm surprised people are talking about it as if it's trending. It's because things are now trending on a relative basis. They don't trend
around you
globally. That's why bigger channels, when they upload, they get hundreds of million views because they trend globally. We don't trend globally. We might trend locally. And it's a ladder. YouTube is becoming a stepladder where you have to do all the steps correctly, and then you'll be welcomed
into
Then you'll
get a new pool of audience.
And it's about, that's why a lot of people expand their audience, and that's why they shrink. Your audience will shrink if you make your stuff too broad and varied. Mm-hmm. That's something we're struggling with our podcast, is where we're
still
like
trying to figure out what
our topic works is, for like us. What we are. And that's what a lot of channels can die from, is it's not having enough focus on some specialty or some brand, and they end up dying from that. That's why we just don't give a shit about our topics as much as I think we should.
I mean, considering we're called That Animated Podcast, I feel like most people would assume we talk about animations and things to do with animation.
We do a little bit, but we are animated.
We're literally just animated.
I don't want to set the expectations too high.
We were animators.
Particular subject, because I don't want to be in another box. When we did YouTube before, we were in a box. We either animated or we played video games, and there was almost no wiggle room. Anytime we tried to experiment with either of those formats, it's not like people didn't like it. It's just the amount of reward we were getting did not meet the amount of effort. And
that's why
it was very
to
difficult
out,
to commit to.
Even.
Yeah, like, we've had
put
to
put your eggs in different baskets.
We've had to spread out pretty thin online just to make it.
We have different brands even, and some of you know about.
Yeah. And listen, we have a lot of friends that we know who have done YouTube for a long time. A lot of them have their, like, a golden goose egg, and that's all they got. And I'm like staring at him like, I hope that golden goose egg doesn't stop laying its eggs, because there's like some of them have like dozens of people relying on that one egg. And yeah, it,
I feel
it
like
can
that's
be,
what Jaltoid was for us. For
it was. And that's why we diversified early. And we've been trying to rebuild from like a more modest point of view, because what we were building was really only being held up by the corporations we were participating in. YouTube.
Yeah.
Like YouTube could at any moment yank the carpet out from under us.
And that's why we try different things.
Yeah. And I mean, they kind of have too, in a lot of ways. And part of it is our fault. Part of it is their fucking policy decisions and whatever. But, and a lot of it is competition. We have,
oh, yeah.
There are millions of podcasts. And it actually
YouTubers.
Brought me a little relief knowing that we had thousands of viewers. Because if there are millions of podcasts, you
literally.
Know how many of those are probably tens of views? Like, we probably are a lot higher on that list than we are. We might even be in the top million. Who knows?
Oh.
That would be nice. But I feel like that's not that difficult, because 3 million people, we can't rank at, like, that low when you think like a lot of people who start podcasts are just doing it. And it doesn't mean that there's 3 million people who are
everybody's
like
got a podcast.
Polished podcasts. I saw clips from some podcasts that were almost as bad as ours, if not worse. Where they're like, you just gotta stay motivated, man, and you know, you just gotta keep trying, keep on keeping on.
You gotta
do it. And then they'll respond like, yeah, man, you're so right about keeping on, man. Yeah, dude. And it's just like, they're not really saying anything.
Was that
anything.
The Mr. Beast podcast?
But like, what
might
I don't,
as well be.
Listen, what I think makes it worse than us is when we're doing this shtick, we're not trying to sound smart and then like bounce off each other being like, yeah, this is the motivational talk. I'll like straight up. We're just having a dumb conversation like, yeah, I think this is dumb. And you're like,
huh?
It might be dumb, but is it?
I got opinions.
Yeah, but like, we're not just like, yeah, this is a motivational podcast, my dudes.
I got opinions on that whole turkey that you gave to Lily still. It's past Thanksgiving. Why hasn't she eaten it? That thing's nasty.
She's trying.
Now.
Leave her alone.
It's nasty. It's rotting. It smells. This room smells.
Oh my God.
Can you guys smell it from there? Imagine the smell.
So I have a question for the audience. What do you guys think of the longer episodes? Because we might just stick to doing this once to twice a week, a longer episode, and not really focus too much on the like, oh, we're here every day, because I think me and Emmy run out of things to talk about.
Oh,
genuinely.
Yeah, we absolutely do. We don't do enough. We barely leave the house.
But
we don't have enough to talk about.
But I think we are good at rambling when don't for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So I think
some things happen.
We are going to start doing episodes that are like an hour long. And then a shorter episode.
We might start posting a little bit later, as you notice.
Yeah.
This one's definitely coming at you.
Yeah, we're gonna do 5 o'clock for Mondays and Wednesdays. We're structuring still. This is season one, and we are still learning a little bit more about how we're doing this.
We're only one seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Little salt.
But yeah, let us know in the comments down below and share the show.
Oh yeah, and considering the Kiki and Boba fight, since only one person, at least as far as I saw or social media was showing me, only one person actually participated, and it was for Team Kiki. So Dalton wins.
But we're gonna do a follow-up
wins.
Because we have not checked our inbox yet.
Oh,
so we haven't ruled it out entirely.
I think it's because
I'm saying that
because
I don't want the one person who emailed us to go, but
oh.
but. I well, sent oh. something to the... Well,
yeah,
we're checking.
Bad. We didn't
so.
Check it.
Oh, no. We check it periodically. It's not like we're checking it every day, just so you guys know.
Ah.
It's something that we will dip into a couple times a month.
Dalton will stick his big toe into it.
Oh, my. Stop it.
They've seen your feet.
Oh, okay.
I told you not to, and you did it anyway.
Okay, it's not like you're like, oh, don't put your feet on camera. And I was like, yabba dabba doo, and ran out there. It was like we were filming a very complex stream. And then
you like picked up Lily or something.
Yes, I picked up Lily, and then I walked in front of the camera for a second.
With your
and then
you're bare like,
oh my god, your feet were on camera.
Everybody was commenting feet.
Yeah,
the chat was spamming with feet. If you look up, what is it, Wiki Feet? I don't know what it is.
Like, I'm probably not on there. Get it out. Get over it. Let's go.
I'm pretty sure you're there.
Guys, share the show, please. It helps us grow.
Share the show. It helps us grow.
Yes.
We need more little sprouting things.
Yeah. And get some shit for the holidays.
Yeah,
Deltoid.com/shop.
Yeah, check it out.
Or scan that QR code if you've been curious about that and haven't scanned it yet. That's what it is. Deltoid.com/shop.
Well, now you spoiled it.
Well, it's not supposed to be a mystery. It says shop under it.
No.
Look, we'll zoom into you. It says shop.
Don't read that.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.